ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः आत्मसंयमयोगो नाम षष्टोऽध्यायः वी आर् गोयिङ्ग् टु कण्टिन्यू दि सिक्स्थ् चाप्टर् आफ् भगवद्गीता वेर् वी हेव् आलरेडी कवर्ड् दि 17 verses. As I said earlier, the Ashtanga Yoga, the 8 steps of the yoga of Patanjali Rishihi are very much accepted and followed by the Vedantins. Even though Yoga Darshanam, the yoga system of philosophy, is not accepted. These eight-stepped, eight-limbed yoga is accepted as a discipline to prepare the mind for the contemplation later on, for the knowledge. As I said earlier, we have seen the antaranga sadhanani and bahiranga sadhanani, the disciplines followed the internally and disciplines for to be followed externally. We've already understood. If you still have doubts, you have to go back to our other verses and then listen the previous talks. It will become very clear. Actually, Yamaha, Niyamaha, Asanam, Pranayamaha, Pratyaharaha, these five disciplines we have understood earlier, we have been discussed earlier. The last three, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Samadhihi, these three steps together constitute Atma Sanyamaha, mainly a mental discipline. Atma Sanyamaha, here the word Atma, in this expression Atma Sanyamaha means the mind. So sanyamaha means the restraint, the discipline, mastery, also can say. So atma sanyamaha, the discipline of the mind. Atmanaha sanyamaha, disciplining of the mind is atma sanyamaha. We have to be very careful. The word atma is used in different contexts with the different meanings, even though primarily, mainly, the word atma is used to imply the all-pervasive reality, the consciousness. As a discipline, when these three together, dharanam, dhyanam, samadhi, together are called, together form the atma sanyamaha, which means the steps involved in disciplining the mind. Even though all the eight steps also meant for ultimately disciplining the mind, these three specially deal with the process of meditation, the method of meditation. We call it dhyana swarupam. This process, how the meditation is practiced. So the dharanam, what is dharanam? Always samadhi is preceded by dhyanam. Dhyanam is preceded by dharanam. The word dharanam literally means holding. So what is held here? Upon what? So dharanam here literally means, actually, in this disciplining of the mind, dharana means focusing the attention of the mind. Even though we talk about the mind going here, mind going there, mind not being in one place, mind not being in one object, mind, you know, getting scattered, we talk about, really speaking, mind does not go anywhere. Mind does not go. The mind literally departs, leaves the physical body. Only when the prarabdha ends, the departure of the mind from the body, actually my physical departure of the mind from the body is actually the death of the physical body. It's called soul departing the shariram, the body. That's why we talk about the travel of the soul, the mind, sukshma, after the death of the physical body. In fact, the mind departs means the body becomes dead. Then that body is cremated, gets disintegrated. That's what we understood in other lessons, the previous classes. But here, the mind does not really, in meditation we talk about the mind going away here and there. Mind does not go away anywhere. It is the attention gets shifted from one thing to the other. Therefore, here dharanam means focusing the attention of the mind on a given object of meditation is dharanam. So focusing the attention of the mind on a given object of meditation means entertaining a thought thought dealing with that given object of meditation. There's nothing called focusing attention other than entertaining that particular thought of the object, given object of meditation. If I ask you to focus your attention on this book and you entertain a thought dealing with this book. The thought pertaining to the book, thought of the book, is what focusing the attention. It's called dharanam. And having the thought dealing with a given object. For example, if I tell you, apple, I show you an apple, may you all focus attention on this apple. Means, you entertain a thought dealing with apple. A thought of the apple. And that thought is called what? Apple akara vrittihi. Apple akara vrittihi. If I tell you, may you focus your attention on pot, ghata, then you entertain a thought dealing with the pot, which is called pot akara vrittihi. Ghata akara vrittihi. So, whatever is the object you are focusing on, the focusing on the given object means entertaining the thought dealing with that given object. Like ghata akara vrittihi, apple akara vrittihi, peacock akara vrittihi. A given object, a thought dealing with a given object alone is entertained. It's called a dharanam, which means already attention must have been taken away from other objects, all other objects, and it is placed, focused on that given object of meditation. But what happens? The thought is of the nature of fleeting. The thought itself is called kshanika vrittihi. Vrittihi kshanika, because any thought is of the nature of fleeting, it is momentary. Therefore, no thought will remain. No thought dealing with a given object will continue to be there, which means there will be constant flow of thoughts, and then attention of the thought will also be shifting from one object to the other. But here, when the there's a flow of thoughts, and we try to retain the attention in the same object. When this effort is involved, using our will, taking initiative in order to place the attention on the same object, then it is called meditation, dhyanam. See, focusing the attention is dharanam, placing the attention is dharanam, then without allowing the attention to move from that object, trying to retain the attention, the same object, repeatedly, is called what? Dhyanam. Which means, if we focus attention on pot, in Sanskritam we say ghataha, then we entertain ghata akara vrittihi. The following thought also must be what? Ghata akara vrittihi. The following thought must be what? Ghata akara vrittihi. The following thought must be what? Ghata akara vrittihi. Following thought must be what? Ghata akara vrittihi. Like this, continuously, there is a constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts of the same object. And what happens in between? Attention may slip away go to another object. Whenever the attention slips away from the object of meditation, we will be conscious of the attention slipping away, then trying to bring the attention back to the object, again trying to retain the attention. So like this, every time we try to retain the attention in the same object, but whenever in our attempt the attention goes away, trying to bring it back again and again and again, it is called meditation, dhyanam. It is not simply focusing, but effort is there to retain the attention. But there is a struggle of bringing the attention again and again back to the object of focus. This is called meditation, dhyanam. So here there is the constant flow of the similar thoughts of the same object, which is called sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. Sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha means the flow of similar thoughts of the same object, unobstructed by or to the exclusion of the dissimilar thoughts. Dissimilar thought is what now? Vijatiya pratyaya pravahaha. The flow of that there's a distraction is there, the different thoughts arise, different objects come to the mind. We call it vijatiya pratyaya pratyaya pravahaha. But here what is meditation here? So vijatiya pratyaya anantarita sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. So the flow of the similar thoughts of the same object unobstructed by the dissimilar thoughts of different objects or other objects. So in meditation, the attention is retained again and again. It is brought back to the object. There is a struggle of bringing it back is involved. Later on, when we repeatedly practice, because of our effort, what happens? There is momentum created. The initial attempt, the initial effort creates the momentum. Later on, without our effort, there will be, without any obstruction, without any distraction, there will be flow of the similar thoughts. And such obstruction-free flow in meditation, there is obstruction, the flow of similar thoughts with obstruction. Then that, because you practice, when there is the same flow of the similar thoughts, unobstructed by the dissimilar thoughts, without our effort, it is called samadhi. Even in the samadhi, obstruction is not there. We need not make effort, the struggle to bring the attention back to the object. There is a effortlessly, there is a flow of thoughts, the similar thoughts. How does it happen? It doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time. It only by sheer practice this happens. But even in this samadhi, which is the eighth step, there is ahankaraha dominant. There is still the division is there. Even though effortlessly the flow of thoughts, of the similar thoughts or the same object is there, still division is there. Ahankara is dominant. Therefore, it is called Savikalpaka Samadhi. When this Savikalpaka Samadhi is practiced, so Dharana Dhyana Samadhi, when Samadhi itself becomes possible, then as a result of this practice of Samadhi, in the long run, what happens? Without our knowledge, also, these thoughts which are entertained in the mind, they form the samskaras, the mental impressions in the subconscious mind. See, our mind, it is a natural faculty which all of us are blessed with. Whatever thought we repeatedly entertain, effortlessly it forms the mind is capable of forming the mental impression called vasana, the samskaraha in our subconscious. Which means, without our effort, without our knowledge also, there will be flow of similar thoughts. This flow of similar thoughts, without our effort, without even our knowledge, when this happening, that those thoughts are called sukshma vrittayaha, subtle thoughts, sukshma vrittayaha, sukshma vritti pravahaha. There's a flow of similar thoughts, the subtle thoughts. Why they're subtle we call? Because there even you forget yourself. There is, without your knowledge, there is a flow of thoughts which is called absorption. Even samadhi itself is absorption. Savikalpa samadhi itself is absorption. Because focusing the attention is dharanam. If putting an effort to retain attention is meditation, dhyanam, then with effortlessly, when there's a flow of thoughts, it's called mind being absorbed in the object. Absorption is called samadhi. But in savikalpa samadhi, there is still division is there, because still ahankara is dominant, still there is effort is involved. Effort means some sort of deliberation is involved. Therefore it is savikalpa samadhi. But which practiced continuously naturally results in what? Nirvikalpaka samadhi. In nirvikalpaka samadhi, you forget yourself. But ahankara becomes unmanifest. Like in sleep, okay? But not in sleep, completely you are off. So here, which means the object alone is there, the division, the subject-object division is not prominent. The division is there, but is not prominent. It is unmanifest-like. Therefore, then it is called what? Nirvikalpaka samadhi. It is not that division is not there. Division is definitely there, but is not prominent. Therefore, we call it Nirvikalpaka samadhi. This is the difference between Savikalpaka and Nirvikalpaka. This first understanding these three steps like Dharanam, Dhyanam and Samadhi. This is what happens even when we practice any mantra japa. This is the idea of even encouraging the mantra japa. Any mantra japaha we practice, repeatedly practice, and then there's that mantra japa, but now initially we focus attention on the japa, and as a result of, again, with our effort, we try to bring attention back to the japa mantra. Whenever it slips away, then later on, as a result of the practice, constant practice, when the mind remains absorbed in the jap mantra, without effort, it is savikalpaka samadhi. Doesn't matter which mantra you are doing. Same mantra, without your knowledge also, if it is constantly, there's a constant flow of thoughts of the same mantra in your subconscious, we call sukshma vritti pravaha, it's called nirvikalpaka samadhi. It is exactly like, even when we turn the fan on, here you don't need the fan. So you might not remember this, I don't know whether this example is appropriate here in this country. In India, all the time we keep the fan on, because it's very hot sometimes. So when the fan is kept on, the fan keeps moving. For hours and hours, there will be fan on. And when we want to go out of the room, get out of the room, we turn the switch off the fan. Even after switching it off, there'll be, you know, the fan will be moving for some more time. It doesn't stop immediately till it be moving. It is because of how it is moving. Without its initial movement created the momentum, as a result of which the fan continues to move. The same thing happens even when somebody is cycling. You have to pedal how long? For some distance you pedal, and afterward you can stop pedaling, the cycle moves by itself. The same way, initially you make effort to entertain the thoughts, same thought, and later on, without your effort, the same thoughts will be flowing. This is some amazing faculty all of us are naturally blessed with. But what samadhi we are in, that is a different thing. But here, Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, expects us to have Atma Akara Vritti Pravahaha. Atma Akara Vritti Pravahaha means what? Our object of thought must be the very swarupam of the subject, the very our own swarupam, our own, the essential nature of one's own self, implied by the term Atma, must be the object of our focus. Then we can say what? Atmakara vrittihi. So when there's constant, continuous flow of Atmakara vrittihi, we say, it's called Akhanda Akara Vritti, Akhanda Akara Vrittihi. Akhanda Akara means what now? Khanda means broken. So unbroken, unobstructed flow of, constant, continuous flow of the thoughts dealing with Atma Swarupam. There must be constant flow. Only Atma must be the object of focus. Only then it is Nididhyasanam. Only then it is contemplation. That is what is Vedantic meditation. Not even Bhagavan, not any form, symbol of the Lord, not any mantra, not any nama, but what we are focusing on must be Atma Swarupam, nature of the reality. Atma must be the object of meditation. which is not an object, which is the very subject. The object of thought must be Atma. Only then we can call it Vedantic meditation. Not any other object. Now it must be very clear for you. What is actually meditation according to Vedanta Shastram? If one japa, suppose if we do Rama Nama japa, any mantra japa is only a meditation. Any mantra, any Bhagavan Nama is very good. We need to practice, but that does not become the Vedantic meditation. Suppose we say repeatedly, Rama, 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 not anything else. Then there is what? Akhanda Akara Vritti Vrittihi. Akhanda Akara, unbroken flow of thoughts, of similar thoughts of the same object. But according to Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, meditation, contemplation means dwelling upon the Atma, not anything else. Only then we can say what? Mind abides in the Swaroop, Atma Swaroopam. Mind abiding in Atma Swaroopam, or mind dwelling in the Atma Swaroopam, or mind dwelling upon the Atma Swaroopam means entertaining thoughts dealing with the nature of the Atma. And how do you know what is the nature of the Atma for you to be able to dwell upon the nature of the Atma? What we have understood through Shravanam, we must be able to dwell upon. During Shravanam, we understand so many words revealing the Swarupam of the Atma. If we take second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we come across so many words. There are words like Achedyoyamadahyoyam Akledyososhya Evacha Nitya Sarvagatasthanuhu Achaloyam Sanatanaha Avyaktoyam Achintyoyam Avikaryoyam Uchyate. We understand there Akledyaha. Atma akledyaha. Akledyaha, you can say achedyaha. Achedyaha, one word. Achedyaha. I am adahyaha. Achedyaha, adahyaha, akledyaha, asoshyaha. Four words. Then nityaha, nityaha, sarvagataha, sthanuhu, Achalaha, Nityagataha, Sthanuhu, Achalaha, Sarvagataha, Avyaktaha, Achintyaha. So many words. And each word reveals the Swarupam of the Atma. Reveals how consciousness is. First thing it says what? Now take this word Nityaha. Seeing the meaning of the word Nityaha. So seeing the meaning of the word Nityaha means what? Now your attention has been taken away from everything else. Attention is not with any other object. Attention is focused now. And you are dwelling upon the Swarupam of the Atma, means you're seeing the meaning of each word. Each word actually, reveals a feature of the Atma. There's so many words. You don't have just only one word. So many words. The words are many, and each different features of Atma actually are revealed by different words. Even the words are different, the features are different, all of them actually imply what? Only the Atma, the Chaitanyam. Therefore, here we say, when you say Nityaha alone, take the word Nityaha alone. Nityaha means eternal. Eternal means what? It implies this timelessness. Timelessness being the nature of the consciousness. Consciousness is something which is of the nature of timelessness. Means you understand here, okay, I am the consciousness and which is of the nature of timelessness. You don't mechanically conceive the timelessness is the nature of the Atma. You don't simply entertain that word there. Here you really see how, what time is. Time is an object of knowledge. An object of knowledge is what? Definitely in the form of the vritti. Any object of knowledge means what? It is in the form of a thought. First. And thought itself shines only in consciousness. There are times, there is a time when the thoughts resolve, there is a time when the thoughts rise. So when the thoughts are not there, no object of thought will be possible. Therefore, any object of knowledge is dependent on the existence of the thoughts. I repeat it. Any object of thought is dependent on the existence of the thoughts. Without the thoughts, there cannot be cognitions or knowledge. And without the knowledge, there cannot be those objects. Which means our time also being an object of knowledge. Time is dependent on the existence of the thought for it to be there. When the thoughts are not there, time also is not there. There is no such thing called time factor when the thoughts are not there. In sleep, there is no time for you. Is there time for you in sleep? No. Why there is no time in sleep? Because time is an object of knowledge. That it is dependent on a given thought. Therefore, there is no time. Therefore, thoughts are time is, when thoughts are not, time is not. Which means time itself is relative. Whereas, consciousness is that which is there even when the thoughts are there, when the thoughts are not there, when the mind is functional, when the mind is non-functional, when the thoughts are there, thoughts are not there. The objects of thoughts, knowledge are there or not there. Consciousness is always there. There is never a time consciousness is not. But there is a time when the time is not. There is a time when the time is, but there is never a time consciousness is not. So because of whose presence alone, time being there is known, time being not there is also known. It is something beautiful thing we need to remember. How time factor is relative, how Atma is free from, the consciousness is free from time limitation. If time has time limitation, time, the factor is time bound, whereas Atma, the consciousness, which is my real nature, I, the consciousness, am free from time limitation, timeless reality. Because this is what we understand. Consciousness is beyond time, free from time. limitation. Because time being there, time being not there, thoughts being there, thoughts being not there, mind being functional, mind being non-functional is also known. There is experience of timelessness. The time being not there, experience of thoughts being not there, there is experience of mind being functional. The experience, there is an experience of mind being non-functional. There is an experience of thoughts being not there, experience, experience of thoughts being there. That every experience implies what? The consciousness. Consciousness, because of whose presence, because of the presence of which the experience is possible. That consciousness is free from time limitation. There was never a time consciousness was not. Even if I ask you, do you know you were you there before you were born? You will say what? I did not know I was. Whether I was. Then I'll ask the question, how do you know? How do you know whether you were or not? For you to say that I was not before I was born also, how can you say that I was not there before I was born? Please listen to me carefully. If I ask you this question, do you know you were, do you know you were there before you were born? You may say what? Before I was born, I was not there. Because I was not even born. We always say this expression, I was not even born that time. I was not there that time. If you say that, I can ask you this question, how do you know that you were not there? Which means there is knowledge. There is experience that you experience that you were not there. That experience is the proof for what your knowledge that you were not there is the proof that there was consciousness which is actually you. I was not there before I was born. How sure you are to say that? You will say, I know. I know. I'm repeating again. I know. I was not there before I was born. When you say that knowledge, that I know, that word know, implies what? You have the knowledge that you were not there before. Is the proof, which means there is an experience of your not being there. There is experience of, there is knowledge of yourself being not there before you were born. That knowledge implies what? That knowledge is possible because of consciousness. Your absence before your birth is object of knowledge, which is what is that because of whose presence your absence before your birth, it becomes object of knowledge, is possible. Therefore, you are all you, that you actually, that consciousness, you are that consciousness which is there always, beginninglessly, endlessly, timelessly. Very simple. Consciousness is the absolute time factor is relative. And this is what is actually implied by this word Nityaha. So Nityaha means Atma is of the conscious, I the self am consciousness, and which is of the nature of timelessness. This dwelling upon, now so many thoughts you would have had now, in analyzing, in seeing the meaning of this one word Nityaha, you would have entertained so many thoughts, but all the thoughts are what now? The Atma Swarupam is the object of all these thoughts, not just one thought. You entertained the thoughts, but even though in all these thoughts, one feature of the Atma, that is timelessness being a Swarupa of the Atma, is dwelt upon. When you are dwelling upon this Swarupa of the Atma, actually not different. It is actually, what is object of your thought? Atma Swarupam. This is actually Atmakara Vrittihi. Like this, not just one feature alone. Sarvagataha. Again, next, Sarvagataha. So, seeing the meaning of this word Sarvagataha. Sarvagataha, all pervasive, you can't just have a concept there. Sarvagataha, really all pervasiveness being the nature of consciousness. How Atma is of the nature of spatial limitlessness. You don't mechanically see here. Really, you have to see. Because Shravanam has given you the clear understanding of the consciousness being the substance of the substantive I. And you are dwelling upon that Swarupam. The space is of the nature of all pervasiveness, even though space is all pervasive, space also is an object of thought. Space is an object of thought. Whenever you talk about anything as an object of thought, the only one thing which never becomes an object of thought, object of knowledge, is Atma. So here, the object of thought means object of knowledge. Space is an object of knowledge. When you say the space also is, space has time limitation. Not only time factor has time limitation, the space also has time limitation. Because there is a time when the space also is not there. Because being an object of knowledge, space also has its existence, can enjoy existence only when there is a thought, the cognition of the thought, space. So cognition of space is not possible if there is no thought. So whenever the mind is non-functional, when the thoughts do not rise, then when there is no knowledge of the object, then that object is not there. So there is a time when the space is also not there. Which means space, why space also is object of knowledge? Space has time limitation. But what about the consciousness? The consciousness is, even the same thing you have to apply here, even when the mind is functional or non, when the mind is functional or non-functional, whether the thoughts are there or thoughts are not there, illumining the presence or the absence of the thoughts, eliminating the presence absence of objects, consciousness sees. Therefore, there is an experience of the presence of space, there is an experience of the absence of space, an experience of presence of time, an experience of absence of time. There is experience of presence of the world, experience of the absence of the world. That presence and absence, both are objects of experience. Presence of anything, absence of anything, become what now? Object of experience. Which means, that experience of the presence, experience of the absence is possible because of the experiencer, the witness consciousness. That consciousness is never absent. Never at time it is not there. And therefore, wherever the space is experienced, what is there before the experience of the space is consciousness. That's why consciousness is all pervasive, spatially limitless. This is what is implied by the word that sarvagataha. Now, when I unfold every word, where is your attention? Your attention is with that. Therefore, sarvagataha. This is the next feature of the Atma. Even though features are different, but they're all the features of the Atma, therefore still Atma is the object of your meditation. You don't stop with this. Again, so nityaha sarvagataha, like that when we go ahead, asangaha. These two are very, very important. Understanding consciousness being time-wise and spatially limitless. Two features. Then, Atma is asangaha. Atma means consciousness is free from any relationship, is untainted, untouched by anything. Asangaha. Is of the nature of relationlessness. That you take the word asangaha. And seeing the meaning of this word asangaha is what dwelling upon a given feature of the Atma, being the Atma Swarupam. Asangatvam is the Swarupam of the Atma. The relationlessness being the nature of consciousness. Is another feature. I'm not giving lots of things here. We're going to see later on. I'm going to help you practice meditation in the class itself. But now, as a part of this, the teaching, I want to just explain to you what is contemplation, what is Atma Dhyanam, what actually is the Vedantic meditation. So, asangaha, when you say, see, these thoughts rise, thoughts exist, thoughts keep flowing, and thoughts resolve. But here, even the thoughts rise and resolve, the thoughts shine in the presence of consciousness. But here, even the thoughts shine in the presence of consciousness, thoughts do not touch or cannot touch the consciousness. The consciousness is not associated, touched, or tainted by the thoughts. It is typically like how in this light, in the presence of the light, you see the movement of my hand. The movement of my hand is seen. It is possible for you to see the movement of my hand because of the presence of the light. Light does not move. Light is here. And the opaque hand moves. The opaque hand even enjoys the status of being existent, and even the moment you see the movement of a hand in the presence of the light, at the same time, you understand that in no way this hand does not touch the light. Light is not tainted by the hand or any opaque thing, which means light is not even polluted by the objects in the shining in the light. The same way, consciousness is untainted, untouched by the what relationship does consciousness have with the opaque things? What relationship does the light have with the objects? What sambandha it has? So light is asangaha. There's no relationship between light and the opaque things. Light is just the light. In its presence, because the presence of the light itself is a blessing for the opaque things, that they enjoy existence, they can shine. Similarly here, the presence of the consciousness, mere existence of the consciousness is blessing for the antahkarana vrittis. They shine. At the same time, exactly how the light is untainted, untouched by the opaque things, similarly consciousness is, the all-illumining consciousness is untouched, untainted by any of the vrittis. Even the thoughts cannot taint, touch the consciousness, means imagine which object can touch the consciousness. For consciousness is ever asangaha, is of the nature of relationlessness, sambandha rahitaha. So, and I am that consciousness. Not to simply understand the consciousness, I the self am that consciousness which is of the nature of timelessness. You don't mechanically say this. You have seen the fact. I the self am the consciousness which is of the nature of spatial limitlessness. I the self am the consciousness which is of the nature of relationlessness. Actually, that is the real nature, that is the real truth of the I, real substance. So you see these different features. So seeing the meaning of different words revealing the different features as a swarupa of the Atma is what now? Atma Dhyanam, Swa Swarupa Anusandhanam, Swa Swarupa Anusandhanam Eva Nididhyasanam. Later on, not only this much, I'm going to see as we go ahead, later on, every time we go through difficulties in life, not only this much, we face situations, then re-looking into our day-to-day situations in the light of this Vedantic knowledge is what? Really assimilation. Every time the problem comes, once we go through tough, difficult situations, re-looking into the situations, what the situation is all about, who is really affected, what is really happening. You know, in the light of Vedantic teaching, in the light of Vedantic teaching, seeing our difficult situations also is what? The seeing the Swarupa of the Atma. That alone will help us what? The repeated Nididhyasanam must be there. Only then the Jnanam will result in Jnana Nishtha. I'm only introducing here, when we'll continue with this teaching later on, it'll become much clearer. I'm going to teach you how to be contemplative. We'll do the sessions themselves. I'm only introducing as part of this class today. Therefore, this is called This is called Atmani Avasthanam, abiding in one's self. So seeing how to do Atma Dhyanam, people will come and ask. It's not simply mechanically saying Aham Atma, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. No, that is not in the Dhyasanam. Aham Brahmas means, again, seeing the meaning of Brahma. And take seeing that, how consciousness, that word Brahman, reveals the nature of the reality, and I am that reality. That, no, remembering that. Therefore, we'll say Tetron, and this is the Samadhi. This is the Atmasarupa Dhyanam, and which will result in what now? Nididhyasana, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. And the Nirvikalpaka Samadhi will result in what? Then ascertained vision. It will never go away. You will never lose sight of the reality. Therefore, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi is not one of the steps, but Nirvikalpaka Samadhi is the culmination of the this Ashtanga Yoga. It's not the ninth step. Savikalpaka Samadhi is the eighth step, and Nirvikalpaka Samadhi is the culmination of the practice of Ashtanga Yoga. But we have to remember one thing. In Yoga Shastram, practicing Dharana Dhyana Samadhi, they expect culmination of Samadhi. For them, the practice of Yoga, this Ashtanga Yoga, should culminate in thoughtlessness for them. Please understand big difference. But here, we use those steps, but actually, for us, thoughtlessness is not the aim of Nididhyasanam. Big difference. There, for them, what is the in Yoga Shastram? Okay, put all the thoughts to sleep and have a thoughtless mind. The thoughtlessness is the end for them. Actually, here in Vedanta, we should entertain thoughts. In Nididhyasanam, we should entertain thoughts. And what thoughts? Atma Swarupa, isn't it? The thoughts dealing with Atma Swarupam. See the difference now? In yoga philosophy, not having thoughts is the culmination. For us, entertaining thoughts deliberately, what? Thoughts dealing with Swarupam of the Atma. Therefore, thoughtlessness is not the aim. And not having thoughts, having completely resolving the thoughts, something thoughtlessness is not something impossible. It is possible, but we are not interested in not having thoughts. But we make efforts to avoid the thoughts dealing with other objects. Our efforts are to entertain thoughts dealing with Atma Swarupam, and which we have understood through Shravanam. That is why Nididhyasanam will be easier and simpler only if we have done proper Shravanam. Shravanam must have been done properly so that Atma Swarupam becomes very clear, and that we will be able to do Nididhyasanam later on. That's why Atma Swarupa Anusandhanam, Swaswarupa Anusandhanam, Nididhyasanam is not something difficult. But before that, Swarupa must be very clear. So until and unless one has clear understanding of Swarupam, one should not go for Swarupa Dhyanam also. Which is Atma Dhyanam, one should not go to unless one has clear understanding of the Atma Swarupam. Which means one should continue to do Shravanam for a length of time. With the patience. The patience is the problem. We want everything overnight like fast food. That is not possible. We should really spend quite some time in studying, doing proper Shravanam. Anyway, these are the steps. With this introduction, I have to go to the 18th verse. Yada viniyatam chittam, yada viniyatam chittam, atmanyeva vatishthate, nispruhasarvakamebhyo, yukta ityuchyate tada, yukta ityuchyate tada. Repeated. Yada chittam viniyatam. Now, as a yada chittam viniyatam, when the mind is well disciplined, when the mind remains focused, well disciplined, then what happened? This discipline, now well disciplined, well restrained, no, by constant continuous practice, where discipline, then the mind remains absorbed in the sarupam of the Atma. Atmanyeva avatishtate means the mind, attention of the mind focused on the Atma Swarupam or dwelling upon the Atma Swarupam. What happens now? That mind dwells in the Atma, abides in the Atma. Atma Swarupam, Atmanyeva Avatishtate, means mind remains absorbed in the Atma Swarupam. Which mind? Viniyatam Chittam, well-disciplined mind. How can the mind become well-disciplined, well-restrained? Through practice. Then sarva kamebhyaha nisprahaha. Sarva kamebhyaha nisprahaha, which means the mind which is really free from the passion for all other objects. The mind which attention of which has been taken away from all other objects of longing. So, sarva kamebhyaha nispruhaha. If still the attention is with the other objects of interest, then attention cannot be brought focused here upon the Atma. It cannot be retained here. It cannot be absorbed also. Therefore, for the attention of the mind to be focused, to be retained, late as a result of which to remain absorbed, it must have been first taken away from everything else. That is what is said, nisarva kamebhyaha nispruhaha. Nispruhaha. Only then, what happens? Yuktaha iti uchyate tada. That is when a person, the meditator, is said to be absorbed in the Atma Swarupam. Here, when you say the meditator is absorbed in his Swarupam, object of meditation, yuktaha means one, he is absorbed in the object of meditation. When do you say, not the person who sits without moving an inch, not that way here. We are going to understand Nididhyasanam, something beautiful we'll all definitely enjoy later on, in the following verses when I'm going to unfold. But today, yukta ityuchyate here means the person is absorbed in the object of meditation, that is Atma. Which means he may be walking, he may be sleeping, he may be sitting, he may be talking, he may be involved in any other activities, but still he is absorbed in the vision of the Atma, Atma Swarupam. He does not lose sight of the Swarupam at all. That's called what? Absorption. This meditator is said to be Yuktaha, the one who remains absorbed in his own Swarupam. Kada, then Sarva Kamebhyaha Nispruhaha. Because this person's attention, withdrawn from everything else, which is focused, which is retained, and as a result of which the mind Atmaniyeva Avatishtate. The mind remains absorbed in its one's own Swarupam. Only then you can say this meditator is Yuktaha. Yuktaha means he is absorbed in the vision of the Atma. Absorbed, his mind dwells in the Atma. He abides in Atma Swarupam. Yuktaha iti uchyate. We have to remember one thing. This meditation is possible. This samadhi or this dharana dhyana samadhi, and then which for one to remain absorbed, this mental absorption in one's own Swarupam is possible if the practice meditation is done without the obstacles. But for the meditation to happen without any obstruction or obstacles, any impediments, definitely it also needs some protection. Which means, here that example is given in the following. The 19th verse gives a beautiful illustration of the meditator's mind. How is that mind, attention of the mind of the meditator, whose attention remains absorbed in the Atma Swarupam, how is it? It is like the flame, non-flickering, the flame of the lamp placed in a protected place where there is no breeze. The flame of the light protected from the breeze, disturbance of the breeze, how it does not flicker. In the same way here, it is said, the mind of the attention of the meditator also does not get disturbed. So he says here, example, the example is given here. Let's see the verse. Yatha deepo nivatastho. Yatha deepo nivatastho nengate sopamasmrita. Nengate sopamasmrita yogino yata chittasya. Yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogamatmanaha. Yunjato yogamatmanaha. Atmanaha yogam yunjataha yoginaha. So the mind does not move away from the Atma Swarupam. It remains absorbed in the Atma Swarupam. The absorption is like what? That the unflickering flame of the light protected from the disturbance of the breeze. Yatha nivatastaha deepaha na ingate sa upama smrita. Nivatastaha, nivataha, vataha means breeze, the wind, and nivatastaha means nivatastaha, the place protected from the disturbance of the breeze, is called what? Nivata sthanam. and the lamp placed, located in the place protected from the disturbance of the breeze is called Nivatastaha Deepaha. And understood, the flame is understood here. So, Nivatastaha Deepaha, the flame of the lamp located in a place protected from the disturbances of the breeze, you know, that example here is remembered compared to this meditator's, you know, the absorption. I mean, it is not disturbed. The meditator's attention is not disturbed. Mind is not disturbed by the breeze. What now? The disturbance caused by the external objects, other things, other. What is it which really which can disturb the meditator? I tell you, whenever we sit in meditation, all the from subconscious, all the worries and pains, you know, always will surface, and they will distract us. Definitely, it will disturb. Especially when we try to sit quietly, that is the time the emotions from subconscious will really surface and they'll distract your attention. Especially the worry about the past, worry regarding the future will always be there, and they will definitely, it is not there, it is there in subconscious, it will surface and distract. Therefore, it has to, this mind also, that is the disturbing breeze here for this flame of mind. Therefore, it also needs a protection. This mind, meditative mind also, the meditator's mind also needs protection. It has to be protected from the breeze of disturbances here. What is it which can protect this? Just there's any, the protective enclosure can be, the protective enclosure for the lamp can be anything. But here, what is the protective enclosure for this mind? In order not to be disturbed by the breeze of worries and things. So here, even though the shlokam does not say, we have to remember Krishna said before, he is going to say later on also, the vairagyam and the bhakti. Bhakti and vairagyam are the two things which alone can serve as protective enclosures for the mind, which will help the mind to be absorbed in the meditation. That we are going to see later on, how vairagyam and bhakti are protective enclosures for the mind, the lamp of mind, for it not to be flicker, you know, to avoid the flicker. So that we'll see later on. But anyway, here he says that example is given. Yatha nivatastaha deepaha na ingate sa upamasmrita. That example is remembered here. Yatha chittasya yoginaha. Yata chittaha yogi means what? The meditator who has disciplined mind, and he who practices meditation upon the one's own swarupam for yogamatmanaha, his mind must be well protected mind. The unprotected mind cannot succeed in meditation. The protected mind alone can be successful in meditation. It is very natural. The protected flame of the lamp, which is protected alone, protected from the disturbance of wind alone, the breeze alone can avoid flickering. It alone will be free. Similarly, the attention of the mind also, must be protected from the disturbances of the worries and things, for which the protective enclosure is vairagyam and bhaktihi. That we don't see here. Anyway, which means the mind must be absorbed. Attention must be absorbed. So the absorption to be possible, there must be dhyanam, samadhi, the dhanam, for dhyanam to be possible, first of all, mind must, attention must be focused. Attention to be focused, it must be taken away from, attention must be taken away from everything else. And even if you have to take the attention away from everything else, even if you want to focus the attention upon, still you must also know the swarupam of the Atma. Therefore, without knowing the swarupam of the Atma, how can you focus the attention? Even if you know the swarupam of the Atma, the attention is not, you are not able to withdraw the attention from everything else, how can you focus? Even the dharanam itself is dependent on two factors. What is that? Knowledge of the swarupam is important. And then the capacity to withdraw the attention from everything else also is important. Two, then only dharanam is possible. Here, Vedanta dharanam, for you to be successful in Vedantic meditation, for the dharanam to happen, there are two factors are important. One must have clear knowledge of one's own real nature. There shouldn't be any doubt at all. What am I? Is it true? Am I consciousness? That doubt should not be there. Which means, shravanam must be done. Adequate amount of shravanam must be done. That there should not be any doubt. Everyone should understand exactly what the individual is. If I am a human being, if I see myself as a human being, if I see myself as a meditator, if I see myself as an individual being, what this body is. Like how you, even in biology, how you simply study the anatomy, physical anatomy, etc. You understand what this body is all about. Then what Shastram talks about the mind, what Shastram talks about our powers, sense powers, etc. And what this mind is all about. Understand all these things. And what is that? How? Through the study of the Shravanam, through Shravanam, we should understand definitely very clearly that I, actually being distinct from I sense, being distinct from all other thoughts, all other thought modifications, all other cognitions, all other emotions, the I cognition, I sense, is distinct from every other cognition, every other thought modification. Which means the I cognition is being distinct from even the objects of cognition, other objects of cognitions. Other cognitions and other objects of cognitions, they're all different. The I cognition, I sense being distinct from all of them must be very clear. Then if this is distinct, what this I sense is? What does knowledge I am is? Definitely when you really analyze through this shravanam, with the help of the shastra study, definitely it must be understood that there is no I other than consciousness. That there should not be any doubt. How clear you are every time when you say, I repeat this example, every class after class after class, I repeat this example. There is no such a thing called a wave other than water. Even remove the water, where is the wave? Similarly, there is no such a thing called I other than consciousness. There is no knower or experiencer or meditator, the witness of the mind, no witness of the thoughts other than consciousness. The witness consciousness, the experiencer consciousness, the knower consciousness actually is the substance of the I. There is no other I. That must become very clear. Only then you can dwell upon the nature of consciousness as your own nature. When you see the nature of consciousness, you are consciousness. Therefore, that is your swarupam. Nature of consciousness is your nature, your real swarupam. And that is why that has to become very clear. Only then, dwelling upon your swarupam is possible. Not to dwell continuously, unobstructedly, to dwell upon your own swarupam. And to retain your attention in the swarupam. to focus attention in the very swarupam first of all, to place the attention, to focus attention, to dwell upon the, not to retain it, to be absorbed in the swarupam, first of all you should know what your swarupam is. And even to know that, even if you know that, your attention must be, even after knowing the swarupam also, it may be difficult for you to withdraw the attention from everything else. Therefore, this continuous shravanam is very important for two things. To be able to withdraw the attention from everything else other than Atma, and to place the attention in the Atma. You know, these two things also, shravanam is very important. Only then, dharanam is possible, dhyanam will be possible, then samadhi also will be possible. And this nisavikalpa samadhi will result in nirvikalpa samadhi also. So even though there the nirvikalpa samadhi in yoga philosophy, you know, will result in thoughtlessness, completely thoughtlessness, whereas here we do not say that we will have thoughtlessness. It is a very big difference. We need to entertain thoughts, but what thoughts we entertain makes our Vedantic meditation. Which are the thoughts we entertain? That really make our Vedantic meditation. It's a big difference. Non-entertainment of thoughts or not having thoughts is definitely not the aim here. We should entertain thoughts, but the thoughts we entertain are of the Atma Swarupam. That is the main thing. Then from the next verse onwards, he's going to tell us about the benefit of this contemplation also. Please understand, I have not yet completed what is contemplation. I'm only introducing the contemplation, which we have following verses we are going to see. It will become much clearer later on. Please be with the patience. Okay? I mean, what is Swamiji just repeating something? He's not yet gone ahead. Don't think. Because first of all, I want to tell you here, actually, we will practice, the guided meditation sessions, we will start after this, the completion of this chapter. Yatro paramate chittam, yatro paramate chittam, niruddham yoga sevaya, niruddham yoga sevaya, yatra chaivatmanatmanam, yatra chaivatmanatmanam, pashyannatmani tushyati. So, yoga sevaya niruddham chittam. Yoga seva here means practice of meditation. Not only practice of meditation, the yoga seva means the practice of the other limbs of Ashtanga yoga. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara. By practicing these five disciplines, five steps. Yoga seva here means what now? Practicing these disciplines. What are they? Antaranga Bahiranga Sadhanani. By yoga sevaya means by practicing these, yama, niyama, etc. Chittam niruddham. As a result of practice of other disciplines, when we need not really practice all the five, definitely yama, niyamas are important here. Therefore, you can say yoga sevaya also, you can say by living consciously a life of karma yoga. Also you can say, yada chittam niruddham, when the mind becomes well disciplined, well restrained, Viniyatam, and here he uses this, the word niruddham. Even though the word niruddham literally means obstructed, we are not obstructing the mind here, we are not obstructing the thoughts here. As I told you, niruddham means well restrained, well mastered, no, well disciplined. Yatra uparamate. Yatra uparamate. When the mind really, again same meaning here, atmani avasthanam, same, when the mind remains absorbed in the Atma Swarupam. It is possible for the mind to, without any distraction, without any disturbance, it is possible for the well-disciplined, well-restrained mind to remain absorbed in the Atma Swarupam. Why this mind is not ignorant mind? This mind has the what now knowledge of the Atma Swarupam through Shravanam. Because Shravanam has been done, Atma Swarupam being one's real nature being consciousness is very clear. Nature of the consciousness is very clear. Therefore, now this, because his mind also is well disciplined now, therefore, it is possible for the mind to remain absorbed in the Swarupam of one's own self, Atma Swarupam. Yatra uparamate, yatra cha, atmana atmanam atmani pashyan tushyati. The word atma is used 3 times there. Atmana pashyati, atmanam pashyati, atmani pashyati. One sees, no, oneself in one's own self. What does it mean here? One atma means mind there. One sees this self, one has the clear vision of one swarupam in one's own mind with the help of the mind. Suppose there is light in front of me, in front of you also there is light. There is light here, but really we don't pay attention to the light. I ask you to see the light because the plain light is what non-attractive. Then what I do, I bring my hand, I move my hand in the light and I tell you, come on, you all see my hand movement. How is it possible for you to see the hand movement? You will say, because there is light. It is not dark there. We can see your hand movement. Which means, from the hand, I help you to shift attention to the light. You know, once you see, then you see the light. Similarly, here also, this person, with the help of the mind alone, he understands the, how with the help of the hand you understand the light, you shift the attention from the hand to the light. Similarly, this person, the meditator also, is able to see, focus and retain and remain absorbed in the Atma Swarupam with the help of the mind. Atmana means with the help of the mind. Atmani in the very mind itself. Atmanam pashyan, seeing one's swarupam being consciousness. Tushyati. Tushyati means there he rejoices, which means he revels in fullness. He becomes happy, I shouldn't say. Tushyati, he revels in fullness. Which means, in seeing one swarupam, in assimilating one swarupam, in ascertaining one swarupam, definitely all the notions, how one can laugh at all the wrong notions one has about oneself. All the wrong notions resolve means enough, it's enough. Then what is there is the joy. This person has that joy of seeing one's real swarupam with the help of the mind, in the mind itself. Okay, we'll see in the next class.